the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Pat Trek. This is a show where my friend, Pat O'Rourke, introduces me, Patrick Winterger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, yeah. A show I have not seen.
Yeah, and this one, we're gonna really get our justice on this one.
Oh, that's the name of the episode.
You know, at the beginning of every good episode of anything, they say the name of the episode itself.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't think they did that in this episode. They didn't start talking about justice till the end.
Oh, man. Well, we're in for a ride.
I guess so.
Vishnu's with us today. Hey,
hello.
Man.
Hey, what's up, man?
This is your very first time on a podcast ever, right?
I'm nervous.
Yeah, you're nervous?
Just a little.
What are you nervous about?
No one listens to this. It's
yeah.
It's really just my parents.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and mine. They were just on
your
the
parents
show.
Were just
Pat's
on the show.
Mom. Get it? They're both Pat.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's the entire point of this show.
So what got you hooked on Star Trek?
Ever since I was a kid, literally the first time looking at I remember watching the original series, and I liked that, but I loved Next Generation. It was on syndication, so it was on every day. So I've watched the entire run as a kid, just probably a couple times, and I definitely remember this episode. So yeah, this one's stored in the memory banks.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
It made me feel as awkward as Wesley Crusher.
Oh god,
that poor kid.
I don't get what. Well, we'll get into this once we get into the show. There's a couple points in it where I'm like, why is he there? And why on this planet, children really get the short end of the stick.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess it's probably time for Patrick's Log.
Yes, Patrick's Log, where we look at what happened on this date in history.
Right. In the real world, not in
the
Star
real
Trek
world. Yep.
Yeah.
So not in the alternate timeline.
This came out November 9th, 1987. Just reading the New York Times news summary. First thing, a bomb in Ulster killed 11. It exploded as crowds gathered in the Northern Ireland city of Enniskillen for a wreath-laying ceremony honoring Britain's war dead. So I guess the troubles were raging back then. And then news analysis, Mexico and the U.S., having concluded a bilateral commercial accord on Friday, showed that the countries believe there are many barriers in the way of continent-wide economic integration. And potential Supreme Court nominees are being considered by the administration, Reagan administration, amid conflicting advice from senators and conservative strategists on how to quickly proceed in naming a candidate to replace Judge Douglas H. Ginsburg. So
it's a completely different time.
Yeah. We've noticed that everything is exactly the same.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Northern Ireland is a little calmer now, but that's about it. That's like the only thing.
Like no more Cranberries albums. So
right.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Cranberries.
They released Zombie and it ended the troubles.
Like,
yeah. And they released Zombie. Ian Paisley died and then everything was fine.
Yeah.
Well, it was all in your head. Because thought, space, and time are one thing.
All right, yeah. So we covered that a couple episodes ago. thought, space, time.
All one thing.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, without further ado, should we get into the episode?
Yeah.
All right.
So basically, this was, which episode is the seventh?
Episode seven.
Yeah,
or
Justice.
Eight.
Or eight, depending on whether you think Encounter at Farpoint was two episodes, we treat them as one.
How long should we give this disclaimer for? Like
just
mid
for first season.
Season three?
Yeah, I guess first season. I don't know.
I like
All
it.
All right, cool.
Yeah. So basically, it starts out, Enterprise had been like dropping off colonists at this other planet, and they show up at this really nice looking planet they didn't know about before. They're like, man, it's great down there. Hey, how about some shore leave? It's probably time for some shore leave. And Picard's like, got to be convinced about it. And Geordi LaForge is like, the first thing he points out is like, these people down there like to have sex a lot. And the only one that's really intrigued by this is Yar and Riker. And
yeah,
Riker
totally.
Is very creepily intrigued.
Yeah, he's like, intrigued.
Right, yeah.
And Yar's like, mm-mm.
Yeah, Riker's rubbing the beard that he doesn't have yet. And he's like, believe me, I've been there. It's great.
Well, he has been there before.
Right. Yeah. So he's coming back and Yara is coming back and they both have clearly had a good time and they're trying to convince everyone to go down there. Then weirdly, Picard sends Wesley to investigate.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I just heard all this stuff about how these people like to have sex a lot. How about we send the 12-year-old?
Right.
Yeah.
Wesley's like, what the fuck, dude? Are you for real? Like, even Wesley is picking up on this, like, you were just talking about this. I'm 12. And Picard's like, we want to make sure it's okay for children. All right.
Yeah, it's okay for children, but super boring for
them.
Yeah,
and awkward and weird.
And, like, they go there and they play ball and they, like, throw around. Like, they,
it's so lame.
It's like
game.
The lamest game. It's yeah. Like, this is the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be much more happy on the ship in fucking space. Yeah.
Or a holodeck where you can
do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go down there and these aliens are, they look like people, by the way, and they're called the Edo. And they all wear like dish towels sewn together at the corners.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like very unflattering, but on some very flattering, but a lot of people just unflattering.
Right, yeah.
It's, well, if you weren't in shape, that would be very,
oh,
very
no, it would look terrible on me. There's, they'd just be like, it's like, why is that 60-year-old man wearing a thong made out of a washcloth?
It looks like it like cuts right into your butt.
Right,
too.
Yeah, it looks very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's also, the top is like the back of a sports bra, but you're wearing it on the front of you.
Yeah. The whole time, all I was thinking about seeing these people, I'm just like, how do these things not fall apart? Because they're like held together by a stitch.
I was watching closely for that.
Right. It's anyway, they show up and they like have these warm, too long embraces of everybody.
They're smelling each other's necks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Important note, they run up.
They run everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So the jogging's a big part
of their
culture.
So I guess that's how they all stay in shape. Yeah. Because everyone here is fit. And
very fit.
Riker points that out.
Yeah.
And Riker's just like, hey, guys, this is great, right? And Wesley's very weirded out. And they're like, we'll find some kid shit for you today.
Well, she, the attractive woman who comes running up, says to Wesley, like, oh, you're too young. I don't know what to do. And then I love this because she goes, like, what's your custom? And he's like, after watching these embraces, like any teenage boy, you know, it's like,
yeah,
whatever your custom
is. Yes.
Wesley made a move right there.
Yeah. Hey, man, he was just trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, totally.
So everyone runs to this council chamber or something, and it's really weird. Everyone's like, these dudes are in basketball shorts or like playing loot-looking things while everyone is oiled up, and there's very clearly sex sounds happening in the background the entire time. But like half-enthused sex sounds because this is network TV in the 80s.
They're just making out. They're making out. Okay,
I thought they sounded fine.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And you know, that's, everyone seems to be enjoying this. There's this weird part where Riker's like, Worf, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Aren't you going to, you know, play the field here? And he's like, I can only have sex with Klingon women.
Right. Because a human woman couldn't handle him.
Right.
Yeah, and then Riker's like, I would assume you're bragging.
Well, you guys haven't seen DS9. You get to find out more about.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
His love life.
Oh, man.
That's all I wanted to know about is Worf's love life. Anyway, we're back on the ship. Data and LaForge are at the helm, and they see, like, this weird vessel. It looks like it's kind of, like, got a cloaking device sort of thing going on. And LaForge, like, scans it with his supervision, and he's like, this is not here. I mean, it's here, but it doesn't exist in this dimension, or at least only partially does. And the ship sends out this little orb of light that just, like, invades the bridge. And I don't know what is going on at this point.
Oh, man. The show's getting awesome. That's what's going on.
Yeah, it starts, like, talking to Picard, like, why are you here? Yeah. Why are you messing with my
children?
This is when
the sci-fi comes in.
Right.
This reminds me of, like, original series episodes where there'll be some kind of, like, object that is unknown and kind of a docile, like, culture that apparently either worships it or is under its rule. So it's kind of a throwback to the original series, I felt.
Yeah, this is what little I've seen of the original series. This kind of seems kind of the most like it.
Yeah.
And the thing knocks out Data. And Data's like on the floor with a sphere interacting with his head in some way. And that's where we're at. There's a sphere that's telling him, not to mess with their kids
yeah.
on
and
the planet.
Taking all of Data's knowledge.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, is super scary.
Yeah, he's the most powerful, strength-wise member of the Enterprise crew.
Yeah,
he can take out Worf.
Yeah,
he can take them all out at once, and he's the smartest, technically speaking. Like,
right. And Picard just lets this happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not much else he could do.
Yeah.
There's this ethereal being that doesn't have a body.
Yeah.
That just showed up in their ship.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have like a physical form. Because like LaForge was like, yeah, LaForge's like, this isn't another dimension. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And is this the part where they're talking about colonization?
That's later.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so back on the planet, Wesley is like having this awkward interaction with these kids his own age. He thinks this girl is like trying to make out with him or something. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, no, I just wanted to play ball.
Wesley crushed.
Yeah.
Got crushed.
And Wesley's like, well, I can teach you how to play baseball, but he has to explain like what a bat is to them. So they run off to go look for like a stick.
How have these kids... Wouldn't they have a game that they're playing right
I don't
now?
Know.
How do they not know baseball?
Yeah. They have a ball. They have a ball. What are they doing with this? Like, it's like a lawn ornament that they're tossing around.
Yeah.
Apparently, the only thing that kids do on this planet is like toss a ball around.
Worst planet to be a kid on.
Well, maybe
adulthood rocks. Being a kid.
Maybe they built up like all that sexual energy. Yeah. Just being a kid is like, God, all I did was just toss this orb around.
Yeah, they had no Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. I'm going to do nothing but sex when I turn 20.
Well, that's what happens.
I guess so.
Yeah, humans do that too.
Oh, awesome. Really?
Wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah, I've read this.
You're on a show talking about Star Trek. I don't know how it must have been having nonstop sex.
But then back at the council chamber or whatever, Riker is busy exploring sex Disney, and they realize that contact with the Enterprise has been shut off. And we cut to this other scene where Yar is talking to the ambassadors that brought them there. And they discover that there's no crime on the planet. And she's like, how does that happen? You don't have cops? I'm like, well, what are cops? We have mediators.
Yeah.
We have those. She's like, you didn't tell me about this. What's that? She's like, well, you know, they create a random punishment zone anywhere on the planet.
Sweet. I like that.
Yeah, during anywhere. It could be anywhere, and it could be any time of day. Any crime is punishable by death. And then she's like, what the fuck? You did not tell us this. And they're like, well, we just assumed that's why there's no crime. Everyone's afraid of being killed at random at all times.
Right. So I could tell by the tone of your voice that you don't like this
No,
part.
I thought it was fun.
Okay, I was about to say.
I was about to be like, this is awesome.
It's enthusiasm. Yeah.
I thought this was goofy as hell.
I was so happy.
Me too.
It was a good episode because... You know, Star Trek's one of my favorite shows, but they're like season one
is
really
tough.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I thought that this whole concept, I thought it was really well written. This whole idea of you live on a planet, it's utopia, but if you do break the law, it's punishable by death. There is no degree of law, which I thought was a really cool concept, and the results would be a utopian world. I don't know. That's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, that's only if you believe that capital punishment is a deterrent to crime, which I do not, but. On this planet, it is.
Yeah.
Just because you can be randomly killed with no trial.
Right. Well, and then they never explained why it's only one district at a time.
Well, it's because they said, you know, you can't kill everyone just for breaking any rule, but the threat is always there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to break a rule in a punishment zone, you don't know where the punishment zone is.
Yeah.
You will be killed.
It's smart.
Punishment zone. It's like Discovery Zone.
It's like Discovery Zone, but you die. Yeah.
Yeah. There's still a ball pit, but they're
and they
yeah,
even
acid.
Like yeah, they even execute children. Yeah. So it's basically
Ooh,
it's
foreshadowing.
Right. Yeah. So it's like the chances of you being executed are very low, but it can definitely happen and they will do it to anyone. So it's basically Alabama.
Oh man.
They have landed in Alabama.
Yeah.
Circa 1980.
It is all white people.
Hey man, Alabama's pretty diverse,
yeah.
man.
Oh, the Montgomery Flea Market song is
Hell
from
yeah,
Alabama.
Dude.
That's like internet trivia.
Yeah. I grew up 30 minutes outside of Montgomery. So,
nice.
Anyway.
Nice, dude.
All right. Well,
I didn't get executed. So but yeah, so they're basically in this utopia that turns out to be a dystopia.
What?
Which seems to be a common theme with Star Trek. So this is like the big turning point in the episode. And we go back to Wes playing ball with these people, and you know, he's tossing the orb around, I guess, you know, living life, and then he trips and breaks through a greenhouse, and there's over a fence, so... Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, that greenhouse is so crappy.
Yeah, it's so shitty.
You did him
yeah,
a favor.
It was a paper yeah. greenhouse. Yeah, yeah.
A 90-pound 12-year-old yeah. child, like, sat on it and it broke.
Also, flowers are outside. Like, yeah. Why do you need it?
Why?
They might get rained on.
I have no idea.
Rain's 5 pounds a drop on this planet. That's right. It's the other thing we forgot to mention.
So he immediately destroys this greenhouse. Yeah. And he's like, oops.
And then the flowers cool, were yeah. fresh, too, is a very important point.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
when
yeah.
a little girl yells, like, wait, those flowers were yeah. just planted.
Yeah. yeah. And they're like, no. And he's like, what, guys? I'm fine. What's yeah. the big deal? Because no one told them about this. Oh, by the way, you know, don't accidentally break any rules. Yeah.
Play the worst ball game ever and right. die.
So, you know, everyone is freaking out, and Wesley's like, what? What's the deal? And these mediators come up, and they're like, oh, whoa, what happened? And it's explained what happened. Yar runs up, you know, Worf runs up. Everyone is arguing, and the mediators are like, sorry, gotta kill you. That's just the rules. This is the punishment zone now. And then they all draw their phasers on them, and they're like, you're not gonna, they're gonna try to, like, inject them with this, like, lethal injection thing, and they stop them. And this is my favorite part of the episode. The guy's like, you're lucky the punishment zone just got lifted
yeah.
for this
yeah.
big death too. So you can do anything you want right. as long as there isn't a punishment zone. And it just happened to disappear. It was like, oh, statute of limitations just lifted. You pulled a...
yeah, it stops like, abruptly.
Yeah.
My sight gag that I did.
Right. It's like,
listeners.
You're lucky that, you know, armed robbery is now legal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you totally go to jail for this.
Right. Resisting arrest is totally okay.
Right. But they yeah. effectively pulled a gun on a police officer. So Wes is captured. And that's where we're at on the planet.
This had another good part, too, where they were talking about where Wes admitted to doing it
yeah.
right away. So they were like, you confessed as well.
Yeah, and he was just like,
why
yeah.
you confess?
Well, five people were yeah. watching me doing that.
Right.
I yeah. lied.
Everyone saw it happen.
Yeah.
I can't really think of a lie to
yeah.
that fast. He was like, you know, Starfleet doesn't lie or something. But yeah. honestly, I just would have been like, what's the big... They're just flowers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that... I don't know if you ever saw that Kids in the Hall sketch where, like, this guy sets a trap for a mouse and they have this long, like, Tom and Jerry type thing. And at the end... He kills a mouse, and he gets arrested, and then he's like, it's just a mouse. And everyone's like, you sick bastard.
Was that Bruce McCullough?
Yeah, I think it was Bruce McCullough. And it's kind of like that. Like, he breaks this tiny, inconsequential rule, and it turns out it is death for him.
There are no yeah. degree of law.
Kids yeah. break stuff all the time.
Right.
How are their kids?
Well, the mediators.
That's all they do.
Right, really. The mediators are like, this is always sad. Just like, how many kids yeah. have they killed?
You might want to revise well, that.
They're constantly having sex. They
yeah,
probably have plenty of kids to spare.
That's, yeah,
maybe
that's
it's
the
a population way. Control.
Right.
The obedient kids will
I guess rise so. To the ranks. So this civilization is drenched in children's blood, is what we learned in this brief interaction.
Yeah.
It's not said, but...
This is a slippery slope of abortion.
Right? Yeah, right. Well, it's like, I was about to say, it's like in Freakonomics, when yeah. the crime rate dropped yeah. because of the legalization of abortion.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here.
That's the only Malcolm Gladwell thing I know. Yeah. So I'm going to... Like, repeat it, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Except it's different, since they're, like, actually killing people.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this yeah. is, like, 12-year-old living boy.
Well, yeah. life doesn't start till you're 20.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they're just very extreme.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this civilization is bananas. We go back to the ship.
Yeah.
And Data's still unconscious. He's, like, communing with this alien, or it's stealing, you know, downloading his brain. And Yar reports what's going on planet side. Picard freaks out. He beams down and tries to talk to these people in the council chamber.
Yep.
And the people are like, we're people of law. Look,
yep.
you know, we don't want to do this, but he broke the rules. We gotta do this. It's the only thing that holds our society together. We used to be savages. We were awful. But these mediators, it was like, that's the one thing that keeps everything together.
And then the Prime Directive kicks
right.
in.
Yeah.
Which this Prime Directive, Patrick and I have some beef with the
yeah.
Prime Directive in season one. Just because even they're talking about they're blatantly ignoring it already, are they not?
You mentioned on the first episode with an encounter at Farpoint.
Yeah.
Because I believe they do break the Prime Directive in that.
They do.
Yeah.
Picard, like, Riker says, like, LaForge, like, how would you feel about breaking the Prime Directive? And LaForge's like, yeah, that's all right. We do that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, clearly they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what the second reboot of the, whatever, Into Darkness tried to make the point of is that they kind of always break the Prime Directive, really. It wasn't a great example of it, but, it, like, the very first scene where they're, like, saving this like planet from doom, like the Enterprise has always been breaking the Prime Directive every now and then, just to sit, but to save people's lives. Though.
Yeah. Then why is it such a moral quandary every single time?
That's my problem with this episode. Because like, they ask
just
him.
Broke it.
They ask him. They're like, "Look, man, you're already here. This guy already committed a capital offense. We don't want to kill him. They're like, we recognize this is a dumb thing to kill someone for. So they're like, just break him out of prison."
Yep.
Or like, we won't stop you. You got these transporters. We want you to break them out of prison.
Yeah, that's nice of them to do that.
Yeah, so. And he's like, I can't do that.
Yeah, they're also trying to kill the kid, too.
Right, so yeah. Well, they say after sundown, they have to do it. It's like in their... It's a very grave offense if they don't kill this kid after sundown. And Picard is, like, not going to budge. He's, like, trying to find some other way out of it to not break the Prime Directive of, you know, interfering with another planet that doesn't have warp technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, why did they go down there in the first place?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so to break, right.
Yeah.
To
Riker interfere. Probably yeah. already it's impregnated.
Right. Yeah, I know
like
why they went
people.
Down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. And they'd been down there before.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah.
You see his eyes, like, lit up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a boy in a candy shop.
Yeah.
If you will.
So, Picard is, like, asking them, he's like, by the way, there's this sphere thing. What's up with that? They're like, oh, you mean God?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That's God, I guess. And he's like, why don't one of y'all come with me? And we'll beam up to the ship. And, you know, I just need you to see this so I can get some information here. So they take Ivana, who is one of the, or Yvonne, who is one of the people that greeted Riker at the beginning.
With the sweet, sweet wig of hers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With this great, like, ringlet blonde.
With like a Greek sculpture.
Yeah, probably, Greek sculpture.
Probably what they were going for.
I guess
oh,
so.
Yeah. They were all like Greek goddesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in a sportswear Greek togas. Things.
Yeah. So they beam her up to the ship. You know, she's fascinated by it. And then she sees the alien dimensional ship thing and like genuflex. And she's in some kind of rapturous state. And they kind of realize what's going on. And then the ship starts like moving towards them and he's like, release my child. And they have to beam her back down immediately.
At risk of violating the Prime Directive, they've got to beam them back.
Yeah. Beam her back. Well, also this alien will destroy them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know really what it is or what it's capable of. So they're trying to figure all of this stuff out. One, how to get Wesley back without breaking their own rules. Two, what is this thing in the sky? What is it capable of? What's it going to do if, you know, we do break them out? And Data comes to, he explains the ship is some alien civilization. They know that they're worshipped. They've, like, evolved to this point where they're beyond our dimension. Mm. They can still kind of appear in this.
Right.
And
that's why they're half in, half
I kinda
out of
like
our
that.
Dimension.
Yeah.
It's that, very
yeah, it's kind of
Lovecraftian
cool.
in a way.
It
yeah,
is.
Totally.
Yeah. And
after we met the Traveler two episodes ago.
Right. Well, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So, and he was like, yeah, they got in my head. They know all about the Prime Directive. They know they can violate it. And there's this weird exchange between Crusher, Picard, and Data, where Data is just, like, listing everything that he knows. And Picard is like, dude, learn
Data.
How to summarize.
Yeah. Stop babbling.
Right.
That's what he said. Stop babbling.
Get to
babbling.
The point, Data.
Yeah. Data's, like, actually hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's and, the only time he shows emotion, just that one.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just trying to...
Pouty face.
Yeah, I was just trying to get you some information. You asked for information. I don't understand it. I'm real smart. You don't need to talk to me like that. And then he, like, starts talking about Wesley Crusher, you know, his impending death, and in a very nonchalant way, and he's babbling again. And then Dr. Crusher's like, God, shut the fuck up, Data. And Data's like, oh... I am an asshole.
Perhaps I do babble.
Yeah.
Does the thought of your son dying make you uncomfortable?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Look, I don't have a son or feelings or emotion. I'm literally a robot. So Picard like
Android.
Goes. Yeah, or an android. Sorry. Picard goes off.
Yes.
He tries to mend fences with Data, and he's like, look, man, I really need your advice, and I need you to help me figure out what to do. And Data's like, well, you know, these aliens at one time lived in our dimension. They evolved into this state, you know, and they talk about what is better, to save Wesley's life or to risk the lives of thousands of crew members. You know, if they violate the Prime Directive, this thing could destroy them. Because he was like, they will use our sense of justice on us if they know that we break our own rules. Yeah, so they're in a bit of a conundrum. So Picard, Crusher, they go back down to Edo, and Yvonne sees them again. They're like, oh, look, you were in the sky like our god. You must be gods. And Picard's like, look, I'm here to get Wes back. I know that the Prime Directive contradicts me saving this kid, but, I mean, look, come on. And then he's like, there's some part in this, I can't remember if it was with the early exchange or now, where he talks about how, he's like, yeah, we used to have capital punishment too.
Yeah.
But we grew out of it.
Right.
Like, it didn't work.
Right.
I mean, look at the situation you're in now. You're about to kill this kid. You don't want to do that.
They talk a lot about this on Mission Log, Vishnu, you're a Mission Log listener,
yeah,
right?
That's the Gene Roddenberry's son, right?
Yeah. On this one, they talk a lot about how he says at this point, too, that they were able to... Picard says that they're able to predict crime before it even happens. Oh,
like Minority Report.
Yeah, which is totally crazy because it's such a throwaway line.
Yeah.
But it's also... Humans have figured out a way to stop crime before it starts. Yeah.
Picard kind of mentions that. He was like, no, we figured out like what the seed of crime was.
Right.
We stopped that. So I'm guessing he's talking about like poverty or something because the Federation is in this post-scarcity.
Yeah, there's no money.
No one really has to have a job to live. Right. You just do it for prestige.
Right.
No one is like dying. Everyone has what they want and need to survive.
Right.
In this utopia. So he's like, yeah, no one needs to...
So that's
crime.
What he meant by getting...
I guess.
There'd still be, like, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, right? there's still going
to
be psychopaths.
There's always somebody that wants to, you know, do something.
Crazy, right,
like
of course.
Like play with organs.
I guess that they have
the
probably...
The organ trail.
They probably have, like...
So bad. Oh, my God. What? That was great. So many emotions with that joke.
They probably have, like, people like Dr. Crusher or someone, or, like, you know, empaths like Troy to get in these people's heads and make them not be shitty. That's my guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Picard points out, he's like, look, Federation solved crime. And they're like, well, you know, you are more advanced than us. Who's to say that you're wrong?
Yeah.
And Picard's like, all right, we're going to get Wes then. And he tries to beam up and he can't because the alien god has...
He's like, nah.
Yeah, he's like, no. I know about your Prime Directive. I'm shutting down your transporters.
Yep.
Can't do it.
Boom.
And then Picard has like two lines where he solves the entire thing.
Yeah.
He's just like, look, you can't have justice when the law is absolute. There has to be, like, degrees of punishment. That makes no sense to not have that. And I guess the alien's like, yeah, that makes sense. All right, you can go. See ya.
And he's, even as he's getting teleported, he goes, I guess the alien agrees with me.
Yeah. They instantly solve the entire conundrum of this episode with
those wrapping
a
up,
line of dialogue at the end. Yeah. Once again, they don't know how to end a dang episode.
They really don't.
Yeah. I took a mental note, and for that part, I wrote lazy Sherlock Holmes. Like, all Sherlock Holmes had to do was say something really smart, and then somebody like, you know what, you're right. Like, Moriarty just gives up.
Yeah.
When is this going to end?
So they go back up to the ship, and Picard offers to the alien thing. They're like, because one thing that we also learned from Data is that this alien god thing sees this whole star cluster as its domain.
Yeah.
So it protects people here. And it was mad that they were like sending colonists to this other planet, even though it was uninhabited. So Picard's like, hey, do you want us to remove those people? Like, they can move somewhere else. It's fine. Just give me a sign. And then it disappears, which isn't a clear sign of anything.
No,
it's a flake.
Right. There's like,
worse.
Yeah. Just like, oh, okay, bye. And everyone just accepts that as some sign. And we're not even sure as the audience, or at least I wasn't. There's like, wait, so are they going to go back and remove those colonists? Because I'm not really sure what they're going to do.
Stay tuned.
And it ends.
Yeah. Well, my favorite part is how Picard ends it. Well, I wish we could have learned more about him, but we can't. Let's get out of here. It's like, what the fuck? Why? We don't even need that line.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, man. That was an enjoyable episode.
Yeah,
though. It had a lot of really high points.
Yeah.
I think the overall idea of it, the writing of it was really good, like as far as the core premise of it is concerned. Yeah. But then it fell apart a little bit in execution.
It did.
Yeah.
Where was Aaron Sorkin back then?
Yeah.
Punch that up. They've been walking and talking all day. Running and talking.
Running and talking in this case.
Well, should we rate the episode?
Yeah, sure.
With all that in mind? Do you want to go first, Patrick?
Sure. I think this is set to stun.
Set to stun. Huh?
You know, I like the premise okay. I enjoyed most of it. Especially, you know, I like the social consciousness that you're starting to see in Star Trek. You know, they're talking about capital punishment. That was a huge thing in the 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. Capital punishment was a big issue in the 1988 election.
Oh.
And they're talking about it on network TV. That's very cool.
Yep.
And took a strong stance against it. So I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
But then it falls apart at the end.
Yeah.
They solve it with one line of dialogue. They just need to learn, and I'm told that they do, to finish a storyline.
Yes.
Just tie it up.
Yes.
They get better at that, I
think. They do. They do. I think they weren't used to so many commercials.
Yeah.
They thought they'd have 2.5 more minutes of showtime.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
There was no Hulu Plus back then.
Yeah, so. Totally. Okay, cool. What did you think, Vishnu?
Set to kill.
Yeah!
We're gonna do five. Light him up.
Yes!
Slash light him up.
I think you're the first person other than me to give someone a set to kill here on Patrick.
It's just like a wall of Cardassians. Just light him up. Except for Garak. He's awesome. Yeah. You'll find out more about that on DS9. I loved it. It was a throwback episode to classic Star Trek. It was so creepy and weird.
Oh,
and I wrote down Red Shoe Diaries because I was getting some like...
Yeah,
there was only so much like early 90s, late 80s erotica, like, you know, to go around. There was kind of just one style. There was no like parodies or anything back then. So... I loved it. I was like blushed the entire time while watching the episode. It just was like, what? It was so ridiculous. And then those outfits, like the guards that were wearing these, like, it just, I don't know, it was just so unflattering. And then it just made me feel a lot. I had so much fun watching it.
That's awesome.
Set to kill.
I'm going to set to stun. Yeah, oh, man, I know. I didn't like the whole storyline with the sphere. I think it kind of lost me. I liked how it was like a god race or whatever, but the fact that it was just this sphere that was coming in and out of the spaceship interacted with Data in a way that had no true dialogue either. I was just, I felt like it was kind of lazy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And then they wrapped it up very, very lazily. So I think it's the fact that this alien race had no true point of view. Like, I have no understanding as to why they're on the planet.
Yep.
I had no understanding as to why they're their children or why they left or what that signal was. Like, all of that brings it from a set to kill.
Once again, they have two storylines for some reason.
Yeah.
In the same episode when they only needed one.
Yeah, it's true. It's still a very good episode.
It's solid. Yeah. I had a great time watching it.
Good. The fact that you're saying this one's solid
is very good.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you ever read the Oryx and Crake trilogy by Margaret Atwood.
No, I haven't.
There's a whole, like, two books about, like, these people that they accidentally create out of, like, the genetic material of humans, except... all they like to do is have sex, and they worship like the guy that created them, and it's super
That's
weird.
That's so unlike humans.
and it reminds me a lot of that, and I can't remember which one came first, but I was just like, oh yeah, I've seen this in sci-fi before.
Yeah, yeah.
I can understand what's going on.
Very cool.
It's like the Baca, you know, kind of like the Dionysian, there you go.
Right, yeah. All they like to do is just drink wine and have sex, pretty much.
Yeah. Can't blame somebody for wanting to do that.
Yeah. I try very hard for that. Well, so creepy.
Well, Vishnu, are you on like Twitter or is there anywhere anyone can
I'm
find
on
you?
Twitter. It's Vishnu Bore, one word. I'll spell it VishnuBoray. And I also have Instagram. I'm pretty good on both of those. I don't Twitter as much. I'm also on Facebook, but it's a personal account. But, you know, if you find out about me from this and you friend me, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I already like you more than most people. Sorry, other people. I'll name them. I'm just kidding.
All those people who don't listen to Patrick.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's more people who don't listen to Patrick than who do listen to Patrick.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay, that's crazy.
That's ridiculous. We need to change that.
I'm going to be promoting this episode. I don't know if I'm going to listen to it because I'm going to giggle to hear my own voice because that's what's going
to
happen.
I have the same reaction to my own voice too, so that's all right.
Okay, you listen to my parts and I'll listen to your
parts.
All right, cool. And sorry, we won't listen to your parts.
It's okay. Nobody ever does.
Since there's two Patricks, do you guys have special names, or did I miss that part episode?
No.
No.
Pat Prime.
Optimus Pat.
Yeah, there
I guess
you go.
So. Oh.
And you're just Pat.
Oh, man.
Patrick, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of
here? Yeah, listen to this show. Listen to Politicked Off, which is the other podcast that I do with Peaches and Hot Sauce. Me and Zach Mast talk about something that's happening in the news every week, and we have a special guest who pretends to be...
Pretends?
Well, an actual, real person from the news.
That's great.
So, yeah, listen to that every week.
Yep. And you can follow me on Twitter at Pat Likes a Tweet, because Facebook is for noobs. Check out everything Peaches and Hot Sauce is doing. Making new friends. Listen to my OG podcast, the original. Well, not the very first podcast I ever did, but the very first podcast under the Peaches and Hot Sauce moniker. So check that out. Anything else?
Let's see what's out there.
Yeah.
Peaches. Hot Sauce. Peaches.